So I'm Darren, and my wife, I think you all probably know.
Leslie. This is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is
the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger."
Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all of these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you now as we gather together. And Lord, I just pray now that your Spirit would be upon this place, that as we would continue to discover your word and your scriptures, that it would be imprinted on our hearts today, that you would be the one guiding and leading this whole process, Lord. I pray when I make a mistake, Lord, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people, that it would only be your voice and your word they hear today, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
You may be seated. One of the things I love about Christmas Eve service is nothing ever seems to go right. You prepare, you practice, you do all the things, and then inevitably something happens. And then guess what? Something else happens, and then something else happens. But it was a good reminder as I was running. I don't know if you saw me running from the front to the back because we were ready to start, but our sound guy wasn't there because he was trying to fix another problem. And so I'm running back there, and I'm trying to fix this and trying to help him out. And I'm like, just, you know, do whatever we have to do to start the service now. But as I was walking back up, and I heard the scripture being read, and then I heard the songs being sung. What a good reminder that all of that is just meaningless. the lights, the stage, the music, like the chairs, the build, like all of it is just like useless and worthless unless it is focused on God. If Jesus is not the center of everything that we're doing here, then what are we doing? And so that was a great reminder for me, and I wanted to share that with you as well, because like I don't want you to think like your pastor's like this madman that just runs up the aisles. Like, things were happening at that moment, or I guess things were not happening at that moment. That had nothing to do with the message, by the way. That was just a little nugget that the Lord gave me at that moment. So I just wanted to share that with you. But all month long, we've been talking about a promise that was coming from God. And so we read the scriptures today as we went through the Advent candle, all the promises that we went through in the month. And each promise was leading to the moment that we're talking about today. And it's a promise that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. Now, when you and I make promises, it's just words that we use between each other, right? Like we say, like, what do you used to say when you're like your little kid? Like, you know, shake on it, make a promise. Like, it doesn't count unless you promise, right? Like, those are promises that we make between each other. They're just verbal promises. And they often don't lead to something. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But how often do we have unmet expectations from promises that people give us? I want to remind you tonight that God made a promise to the world, and he followed through with that promise. And in that promise, it wasn't just words that he was using. It was a visible, something that you could hold, something that came to this earth. That promise was real and alive. Human flesh and bone came to this world. That was the promise that God made to his people and to this world. And it came true. Let's look at that first promise that he made. Hope was promised, hope was born. Luke 2, starting at verse 4. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Our first point is this: hope arrived as a child. Hope arrived as a child. This was God's answer to the darkness that was in the world. Darkness was shrouding the world. It was covering the land. And the prophecies that we read about in Isaiah and Zephaniah and Jeremiah, there was a deep darkness that was over the land. And so God was declaring that the darkness would no longer last, that I was going to send a shining light to the world that was going to make darkness disappear. In Isaiah 9:2, he said, "The people will walk in darkness and will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Hope entered in a quiet, quiet manger. That in this land of deep, deep darkness, hope would enter. And hope entered in some unusual circumstances. And if you go back and look at the verses and you see Mary and Joseph and their story, and it's such a fascinating story, like, that was some unusual circumstances. Joseph was engaged to Mary. She was a virgin, and she was pregnant. This was a little unusual, especially for this time. Now, it might not seem a little odd nowadays, but back then, this was extremely wild and crazy. Like, you were ostracized in the society if you were pregnant before marriage. So this was a very unusual circumstance. Matthew 1:18 says this: "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Like, this is a really, really unusual circumstance that Joseph has found himself in. Now, he gets confirmation from the Lord. The Lord tells him who the baby is and what he's going to do. But guess what? They only told him. They only told Joseph. Like, everyone around Joseph and Mary, they didn't hear the Lord. This was a very unusual circumstance. And how often do we find in our own lives that the hope of God comes in unusual circumstances? Sometimes we're running around and we're so fixated on doing more and striving more, and sometimes we forget the small blessings that come from God. Sometimes we lose our job, and this is an unusual circumstance for us, but yet we still find hope in the loss of a job. We lose a loved one, and we have to spend the holidays without them for the very first time. How do we find hope in that unusual circumstance? There are many people who wish that they had a baby this time of year. They strive so hard to have a baby and be a family. How do they find hope in those unusual circumstances? And what we're learning and what the prophecy is fulfilling is that our true hope is only anchored in Jesus Christ. Like, if our hope is anchored in anything else of this world, it always falls short, and it always will. Like, unless your hope is deeply ingrained in Christ Jesus, it will fall short. Hope points to a peace that passes all of our understanding. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:7. Hope always points to something greater. So even in our unusual circumstances, when we feel the loss, we feel the grief, our hope anchors us to something more, to something greater. But oftentimes when we lose that hope, it's often that we're shackled by fear. That fear begins to take over, and we begin to lose that hope that is promised in Jesus. If we go a little bit further in the birth narrative, starting at verse 8, it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring you great joy to all people. I love verse 11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Our next point is this. Peace is found in the presence of the child. Did you catch that? The allusion to fear and darkness is all set for the shepherds, right? They're there at night. And then suddenly, the Lord appeared among them, and they were terrified. This is all fear language that is being used. And what's the first thing that the Lord says? He doesn't say, I got great news for you. I mean, he says it eventually, but it doesn't start there, right? He starts by saying, don't be afraid. His first announcement to them was to say, take your fear and put it aside. That is to say, I hope your anchor or your hope is anchored in me, because I'm the only one that can take away your fear. That whatever you're feeling right now, hope in me will bring you peace. So do not be afraid. Can you find peace in your fear? That's a question that I tried to ask myself this week as I was kind of mulling over this whole process, and I'm like, how do we find peace in our fear? Like, it just doesn't, the presence of fear means I'm not peaceful. But if we go a little bit further and we really, really look at verse 11, the announcement that is made to the shepherds gives us our peace and where we can anchor our hope and why we shouldn't be afraid. Verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This announcement by the angels is profound, to say the least. Now, we've read this story so many times, and we come to Christmas Eve services, and they read Luke 2, and we're kind of listening to it, and then we're kind of dozing off, or we're kind of doing something else, or maybe you're checking your phone. Like, have you really focused on verse 11? Like, this announcement by the angels changes everything. Everything they knew in the created world was about to change because of verse 11. The Savior, a Savior is someone that delivers us from sin. So the angels are declaring that someone has come who is going to take your judgment. The one that was supposed to be on the cross to come, you, me, someone's come to do that for you. The Savior has arrived. The Messiah, the anointed one, the promised king is here. And then I love this last one. The Lord, was the angels were giving Jesus divine authority to say that the God-man was here, that God was taking on flesh, and he was coming to this earth to be the king and the ruler, and he was going to save us from judgment. Now, when you look at verse 11 like that, it's a little bit different. When I look at verse 11 like that, when I am fearful, when I feel like I'm losing my hope, when I feel like I'm losing my peace, that anchors it more for me. That the anointed one, the divine one, has come to take my judgment. Like, that brings me a lot of joy. Verse 10 says this, but the angel reassured them, do not be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Our next point is this, joy came because God was near. When our hope is anchored in Christ and we find that true peace in our life, like, what comes from that is joy. Like, when you get to a place, like, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're sitting here today and you declare that openly and publicly, and you have this peace within you because of that, then you know that joy comes from that. There is an amount of joy that comes from knowing that the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who came for judgment, lives in my heart. Like, that peace brings me joy. And I hope it brings you joy as well. And if you've yet to make that decision, man, I can't even tell you, like, it is a game changer. Like, you will experience a joy that you've never experienced before. You will experience a peace that you've never felt before in your life. The running around, the trying to strive, the trying to do more, the trying to continue to reach out and be more, be better, be great. Like, it goes away. Because there's a peace and a joy that comes with the hope of Christ. And so when we gather on Christmas Eve, like, this is what we shout for joy. This is why we sing songs. Because to have that deep within us completely changes everything around us. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 12. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest of heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Our next point is this: God's love goes deep within us. It was just as the angel had told them. If we go back and remember what the angel said, right? "I bring you good news that will bring you great joy." And remember how we talked about when you have this hope of peace in Christ. Like, when you meet Christ, it was just as the angels said. Like, everything they said was true. What changed for them? It was being in the presence of God. That's what changed for them. Is they were in the physical presence of the God-man. They were with him, and he was with them. Like, when we have the love of Christ, when we have Christ deep within our souls, it brings us hope, it brings us joy, it brings us peace, it brings us love. You gonna get that? No? Just call him back, it's okay. But when we have these things deep within our hearts, it changes everything. But we live in a post-resurrection time, right? We're not going to physically go to a manger and see Jesus in front of us. Like, the only time that we're going to see Jesus is when he comes again or when we go to meet him. But he didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us by ourselves. He said, "I'm going to send an advocate to you." That way the love of Christ can be deep within you, that it can be deep within your bones. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says this in Romans 5. Yeah, Romans 5, verse 5. "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Some of the regular attenders are going to be like, "Man, he's cutting it short today. I am. I'm trying to get you home, okay? I'm going to land the plane real quick." If you're not a regular attender, I normally preach a little bit longer, so lucky you, I guess, right? But I want to ask you this question. And this was a question that I sat with for the 3 days that I worked, Livy. I worked 3 days, okay? All 3 days. She was checking my work schedule. This is the question that I sat with. What would it mean for you to welcome Jesus into your story tonight? What would it mean for you to welcome Jesus into your story tonight? Would your life look different? Would the way that you hope for things in life be different? Would the way you try to find peace in this world, would it be different? The way that we chase joy in our lives, the way that we chase love in our life, would it look different because you asked Jesus into your story? God fulfilled his promise in the incarnation. And he stepped into our world in a deep and profound way. And it changed everything that we knew about God. But the way that he came, it came in a way that we almost missed. Like, he came in a manger. He came in unusual circumstances. And the world almost missed it. He came in humility, not in power, not in prominence. Like, this was the Lord, the King of Kings. He could have came with trumpets sounding. He could have announced it to Augustus. He could announce it to the governor. He could announce it to anybody he wanted. Who'd he pick? He picked shepherds in a field. He came in a barn, in a feeding trough. Like, this is our King, our Lord, our Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was going to be judged for our sins, came in unusual ways, in unusual circumstances. And why did he do that? Because he didn't come for the rich. He didn't come for the elite. He came for everybody. And it was completely flipping everything upside down that the world had known at that time. He fulfilled the prophecy in a radical way. He didn't announce it. He came quietly. He came gently. And then he came to be near with us. His presence is among us. And I'm concerned that if we don't look closely in our own lives, then we will miss how he shows up in our lives. Because oftentimes, from what I've found, he doesn't show up in grand and profound ways. Christ often shows up in the everyday mundane actions, not the big and the bold. But in those quiet moments of our lives, in those day-to-day moments of our lives, where are we finding hope? Where are we finding joy? Where are we finding our peace and love? I like what Paul says in Romans 3. For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of sins. That's the promise of Christmas, is that one came near. God came near to be with us, to take the judgment that we earned and deserved so that we could find hope, so that we could find peace, so that we could find joy, and so we could find love. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious Heavenly Father, oh, man, I love Christmas. Just love it. To talk about your son, Jesus, who came to this earth to be among us, to be with us. That his presence would be among us. Your character is true, Lord. Your word is true. You fulfilled the promise that you made to the Israelites. You came to earth, you took on skin, you took on flesh, you took on bone, and then you took on the cross for our judgment, for our sin. Lord, I pray that those who are here tonight and have yet to accept your love, who have yet to accept Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would open their hearts now. It goes back to the question, how would your story change if Jesus was in your life? Would you find more joy? Would you find more peace, more hope, more love? Pray the announcement that the divine was named, and everyone said. Don't worry, guys, I'm not singing, I promise. You don't want that. Each of you should have gotten a candle with a little holder. Oh, yeah, you're going to hold them up? That's good. I like that. Hold them up. We're going to have people going around with lighters to light the candles. And we're going to have a few carols tonight just to kind of end the night and kind of focus on the main reason of why we gather together here. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning. It's not about anything else other than Jesus. So kids, I know you're tired. I know you want to get home and get to bed as fast as you can. And I know your parents want to get you to bed as fast as they can as well. I know it. It's true. But let's, for the next 10 minutes, everything that is to come, tonight and tomorrow, let's put it all aside. And let's focus on the true reason of why we gather together. The Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who came to save the world.